Welcome back, or welcome for all the first-timers to Mike and Mike's Off-Air Podcast. We try to make sure everyone knows about these. Always available at my975fm.com. Once a week or so, we get together, myself, Mike
and
Pesto.
Your friend Mike O'Neill right here afternoons on the My975. And before you launch, I wanted to throw something at you.
By the way, that term is going to be very appropriate in just a moment, but we'll get to that in a second.
I look forward to seeing how that plays out. Conventional wisdom in big quotes. For this point, conventional wisdom. I mean, as I've gotten older, for instance, a conventional wisdom, the children come first. When I first got married, that was what we were told. That's what we believed. But as I watched, I'm 30 years, 30, we've been together 32 years.
Yeah, make sure you get that right.
married 30, together 32. And I don't see it like that anymore. Now, we don't leave the kids out on the street and, you know, go visit them. We take exceptional care of our kids. But I don't think the kids should come first. I'm a firm believer now in putting my wife first. Yeah. Because if I don't put my wife first, the kids won't benefit from seeing that happy relationship. I mean, I've seen so many couples who their kids were raised, they moved out. They're gone, and then they looked at each other like,
who are you?
What the heck do we do now? Well, my wife and I know exactly what we're going to do when I retire. We've got plans and places to go and can't wait to experience them with each other, but that's only because we grew together and we're purposeful in that. The purpose of me talking about this at all is another piece of so-called conventional wisdom has been overturned. We're both iPhone fans. We both have iPhones,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And what are you supposed to do, according to conventional wisdom, if you get it wet?
I know where you're going with this. I was going to talk about this morning, but I held off on it. But take us down that road. I know you're supposed to put it in rice. That's what we've always been told.
And my son, who puts his phone in rice about every 12 minutes, is the king of, I got to go. Well, no. Apple themselves are overturning this piece of so-called conventional wisdom. Not supposed to do that at all. In fact, doing that, apparently what's been happening there is small particles of rice get into the phone and screw it up worse than it would have been when it was wet. So, no, what they're saying now, and especially now with the 12 and forward, especially with the 15, these things are nearly, waterproof anyway. So shake it. I mean, who knew? Taylor Swift was right.
shake it off.
That's all you got to do. Shake it off. Let it dry completely before you try to lightning charge it. There you go.
So, I also saw in one of the other reports, and maybe it's the same one that you saw, where you're supposed to use a hair blow dryer. My fear in doing that is, well, the one report I read said do that. But my fear with that is, your iPhone is very heat sensitive. Mm-hmm. You'll get to a point if you leave it out on your dashboard, and I've done this, where that little temperature gauge will show up, and that's the only thing you will see until it cools down.
That's right. It shuts
so
it off.
So maybe a hair blow dryer on the cool setting, perhaps. But again, I would check with someone first before you do anything invasive like that, which it could be. You want to fry the circuits in there.
Well, Apple in the same article did indeed say that. Said, no. You don't want to blow any kind of real pressure in there at all. And again, the heat is going to hurt it worse than what you've already done. So, So your instincts are correct, sir.
My instincts is make sure I've got the updated phone that actually can go in the water.
Well, yeah, or my case, put it in your pocket and quit dropping it in the toilet, O'Neill. For God's sake,
I actually did that once.
Yeah,
but 10 years ago, before they were as waterproof as they are now, and it was after doing my business, dropped it right in, and without even thinking, it wasn't even one of those, should I go in and after it or not? It was, I'm going in. And hand went down. I grabbed a whole lot of stuff, brought it over to the sink, rinsed it off, did it in the rice because that was conventional wisdom at the time 10 years ago. And sure enough, within 24 hours, worked perfectly.
Well, I wouldn't have got within 5 feet of it. I told you the story. My son tossed my sunglasses in a porta potty at the then opened, Christmas Tree Farm, Satterstrom's.
Uh-huh.
And I came out and my wife literally looked me in the eyes and said, well, did you get it? Did you get your glasses? I said, no. Even if I'd have had forceps that were 4 feet long, there isn't enough alcohol and fire starter on the planet to make those to be anywhere near my head ever again.
Yeah,
I can't
you
even imagine.
Sunglasses, again, which you wear close to your face with an iPhone, which you put close to your face, but still just the value of those two.
$200, $1,000. Well, you might go after the phone.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. So it's one of those, if you think about it ahead of time, what would you do in that situation? I'm convinced there are certain things that happen in our lives that you can't possibly know what you would do unless you're actually in that situation.
That's
you can
true.
Think about it all you want.
No, it's true.
But until it presents itself as a this or that, like we were playing last week, you just don't know.
We know you know who you are in those situations, though, don't you? You're like, I clearly care about my phone.
More
and
than
now, I hope I can disinfect my arm soon.
I mean, this came out of me, so how bad could it be?
Shake? No? 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 No shake? Okay. All right.
All right. So I talked about this on the air this morning. And maybe you heard about this, that I think this is the second round they're doing this. NASA looking for volunteers to participate in a one-year Mars surface simulation. So for 1 year, you and three other people, they're looking for four people total, will be at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. 1,700-square-foot 3D-printed habitat, which they're calling Mars Dune Alpha.
Oh, man.
And they're looking for, and this is directly from NASA, healthy, motivated U.S. citizens or permanent residents who are non-smokers, 30 to 55 years of age, and proficient in English, what you'll be responsible for doing, such tasks as simulated spacewalks, because, again, you're still here on Earth, habitat maintenance, robotic operations, exercise, and crop growth. And as I mentioned on the air, you may be thinking, crop growth on Mars? Well, if you saw The Martian, they grow potatoes, so why not? So, one, if you fit the criteria, and I believe you're outside the age range, at any point in your life, maybe not so much now being married with grandkids as well, would you ever have entertained the possibility of doing something like this?
When I was younger, oh, heck yeah. I was so into the space program as a kid. Remember, I'm 66. We're talking about the first moonwalk and all of these things. I was all about it. I could tell you every single part of the Apollo launch vehicle, the LEM, all of it. I still know an awful lot about it. It's ridiculous. I was excited yesterday on the anniversary of the first orbiting moonshot,
that's
John
right.
Glenn and Discovery. And I remember all of that stuff. Yeah, I would have as a kid. Unattached, unmarried, you bet I would have.
Yeah, that's still the most watched television event of all time was that moon landing in 1969.
I was there, man. We hung on with every single second. And you could when he said those fateful words, you could literally feel the whole country. We did it. You could just we had anything to do with it, but you felt like you did because you were that involved. You were that invested.
And the big space race between the U.S. and the Russians at the time, too. It was like, we beat them there. And was that big of a deal back then? Again,
yes.
I've read things, but obviously I was not alive. Well, I was born in 1969, later in that year.
Well, they soundly beat us at first. They got up first. They got around the Earth first.
They sent the chimp up there first, right? Or was it a chicken or something like that?
And that didn't go very well. But
or a dog. Yeah. No, it was a dog. That's right.
Poor
it was
Latka.
A dog.
Poor Latka. But, it just, you know, we didn't start off as strongly as we finished.
Okay. All right. So with that in mind, and I would say the same thing up until the point I got married, because I would miss my wife. She needs me to do things around the house. I mean, it's not like being gone for a few days or a weekend trip or, you know, even a month or so for some strange reason. I mean, that's a full calendar year being gone from wife and kids.
Yeah, right.
So once I got married, I would say the want may still be there, like shortly after we got married, but the desire to really go ahead and go through with it, probably not as much.
No.
So let me ask you this, and kind of piggybacking on that. What is the most adventurous thing you've ever done and or would ever still do?
Well, parachuting is out for me.
Okay.
As a result, and it hinges on kids and stuff.
Now, just for clarification, you've never actually done that.
Oh, my God, no.
So my thinking is if it's something that you haven't done to this point, you're certainly not going to do it now. I wouldn't think, although you could surprise me.
No, you're probably right, and I see where you're going. I'm clearly not answering the question. But no, I couldn't. Anything where I could conceivably, because I wanted to do something for a thrill or excitement, that could conceivably kill me. I can't imagine taking that chance while my children are still alive and my grandson, who all on some different level need me. I can't imagine taking that chance.
Okay.
So I won't drive in a race car 300 miles an hour. I won't do those sorts of things. I don't know. I don't think I'm that thrilling, Mike. You might be asking the wrong person. The most thrilling thing I think we want to do, because
anything that you have done, like past. What's the most thrilling thing that you actually have done? The most adventurous thing you ever have done?
Well, I actually did get in. This was fun, and I didn't know how it was going to go. But as a radio person, Ford, the car company, used to take you. A select air personality out once a year in one of their vehicles, and they did something fun. Once we went up the side, we took the whatever the SUV du jour was. We went upside them all the way up to Mammoth Lake, right up the side of the mountain.
Okay.
The one I'm talking about though is for the Mustang. The brand new Mustang came out, and we went to a racetrack. I forget where it was. It's somewhere central in the state. And we hauled butt. We didn't drive because none of us were good enough. But we were 16-point harnessed in the passenger seat. And you know who my race car driver was?
Who?
Tommy Johnston, the guitarist for Elton John.
Oh, okay.
Who happens also to be a race car driver. So my race car driver and me flew around this track. And I don't understand how they can do it as a passenger with zero responsibility. Zero at all. No stress on me at all. I felt like an elephant was sitting on my face. I mean, I felt like this. And I'm like, I can't see anything, literally. I mean, the pressure.
Yeah.
And he was 2 inches off the car in front of me, like they do when they're racing. For me, that was pretty exciting. That was pretty thrilling.
I had a similar experience when I was the promotions director of a station in the Monterey Bay area, KTOM, if anyone's familiar with it. And once a year during Concours d'Elegance, they had this huge event at Laguna Seca, the raceway there, which they still have races, more so motocross than anything else because it's not an oval. Oh, no, it's not. It goes up into the hills and everything. It was incredible actually being on that course.
Straight off-road.
It's all paved. It's all paved, but it's going up into the hills and paved, so it's a true – I mean, you can have vehicles on there.
That would be fun.
I've never actually seen a race televised from there, but they have to have strategic camera locations just to make sure you get all the angles and everything. But we were in a Dodge Viper.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All 12 cylinders, I believe. And we got taken on the course by a professional driver there. All the way through, and as fast as they could, I remember, I was one of the last people to be on the course. And during one of the straightaways, it only has one real straightaway. The start-finish line is a straightaway right in front of where the grandstands are. And that's where he opened it up, right at the end. He's like, so how fast do you think we were going? I said, probably about 120. He's like, how did you possibly know that? You didn't look over. I'm like, I've got a 67 Mustang, and I've taken it up to 120 a couple times, but that's off the record. And then after we did that, we got a chance on a coned course, not on the actual Laguna Seca course, to drive that same Dodge Viper.
Lord.
And then I just barely did not win this little media challenge that we had for everyone to the guy who was doing afternoons on the same station that I was on.
That's wild. I just remembered another one. I think I've mentioned it for some other reason, but I used to ride a motorcycle. I had a Honda Shadow, which is I used to call it my Hardly. It's based on the FXSTC Harleys.
Okay.
But it was about a 700. Okay, so it was not as big as the 1100. Actually, those were 13 and change. But we were out, me and my next door neighbor, who actually owned the local motorcycle fix it shop, and he had at the time the fastest. I don't know what the crotch rockets. What are they actually called?
Kawasaki's.
Well, yeah, you know the ones where you're hunched over and all they do is go fast. You can't get comfortable on them ever. They just go fast as crazy heck. Well, we went out together. There's a road out of Lompoc, California. It goes right to the ocean. It's about 7 miles long and it's fairly straightish. So you
straightish.
Can,
I like that.
But the point, meaning you can really open it up for long periods of time. Well, we were out there, and I thought I was kicking butt. I looked down. Wow. For me, on this motorcycle. I'm going 90 miles an hour. And all of a sudden I hear, meep, meep, his little horn behind me.
Oh, that's not what I thought. I always thought sirens behind you.
No, no. No, no, thank you, please. Although I was earning it, let me tell you. Behind me, I just heard the horns, and all of a sudden,
wow.
This hurricane went by me. I'm going 90, Mike. He went by me like I was standing still. And it scared the crap out of me. I don't know why. I don't know if it was empathy for what could happen to him, or I'm going 90, or yeah, both of us were crazy. But I all of a sudden I realized I could be road pizza for about 100 yards, so I slowed down. But that's probably the fastest, craziest, speediest thing I ever did on my own.
Did you ever jump it, your motorcycle?
No, it's not. It's too heavy. It's not a jumping bike. It's not an off-road bike at all. It's intended. It's a low rider chugger that's made.
Okay.
I would drive from Lompoc to my parents' house in Anaheim. It was fun. It was comfortable. You could sit on that bike forever.
The reason I ask is,
God,
one of my best friends when I was in grade school, this must have been 13, 14-year-olds we were at the time, my parents found out he was getting a dirt bike for Christmas.
Wow.
So I got one for Christmas, but it wasn't as designed for off-roading as his was. Mine was definitely more of a street bike.
Huh.
I still took it as off-road as often as I could. In fact, there was one time, and I'm sure there was a girl involved I was trying to impress.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah, exactly. It was rural Illinois, so they've got these drainage ditches leading up to where the driveways are. And there's this gravel driveway, two-car driveway, and I'm like, I bet I could jump that.
Oh, man.
So I drove around the front yard, drove towards the driveway, hit the drainage ditch right where I wanted to, got about half in the air, halfway over, I lost the handlebars. I landed on the rear fender. If that had not been there, my butt would have hit the tire.
That would have been fun.
And the bike made it across. I quite did not.
Yeah.
I got a bit of a road rash in the process. And
gravity is everywhere.
So I gave my bike some...
Did it survive?
Oh, yeah, it did. I mean, it was scraped up a little bit, but no dents, nothing that was beyond repair. And
that's good.
I can't remember how I explained that to my mom and dad when they actually saw it, but I'm sure I said I was swerving to avoid a small child or something safe that led to me crashing the bike.
It was very minor. I just laid it down.
So that's why I ask about
that's
ever.
That's wild, bro. No, I've never tried
airborne.
To tell.
Yeah, that was my son is still surprised every once in a while when I bring up the fact that I had a motorcycle at one point.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I was actually in a band when I was younger, too. Uh-huh. About 20 years ago, and we opened for the Outlaws, and we were a rock band we were compiled by members of the one radio station I used to work for, and I love showing pictures of me then to them with the hair down to the front, almost to the middle of my chest, and a slash perm with purple cellophane in it.
Wow.
It's like, that was me once. Not anymore.
So any other adventurous tales come to mind?
No, that's pretty I tend to be overly cautious. My wife thinks I've been driving like a 90-year-old man our entire 30-year relationship. I also have 100% less tickets than all of the rest of them. But
yeah, my lead foot kind of disappeared once gas prices started getting at the point when gas cost more than a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
And I almost remember that to the day when I went to the store. I was living in Las Vegas at the time. And I'm like, gas now costs more than milk.
Yeah.
And it's never come anywhere close since. It's almost doubled now, I checked, depending on where you get your milk. But so I don't speed anymore near as I used to, again, because of the gas prices. There was one other incident I had years ago. I was in one of those moods. Oh, you've got a story.
I remembered one. God, I was so stupid.
I was driving my Mustang again, but I was just in a mood. I really can't explain it. I wanted to get away from everything. Just one of those, I don't know if you've ever had that feeling where it's like you just want to unplug for an hour or two and not. And this was before cell phones, so no one could reach me anyway.
Yeah.
And this was in Salinas, California. And I drove just this road that turned into a gravel road that pulled into a quarry. And I'm like, I looked up at the rocks that were in the quarry. I'm like, I'm going to climb it.
Oh, no.
And keep in mind, this is loose rock that is only there compacted because it's been there for a while. And I got to a point where it was almost sheer, and I reached up, and I lost my footing. And I'm literally holding on to this pile of gravel at least three or four stories in the air. And I wouldn't have fallen straight down because it was a slight incline up, but I would have hit gravel and probably broken something and not been able to get back to my car. And all I can think is, if I do end up incapacitated, no one's going to find me for hours, if not days.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, what I was holding on to held long enough, I could pull myself up, swing my leg over, and get to the top, and then find a safer way to get down.
Note to self, next time I do something like this, bring a friend.
But that's something I've never even told my wife, I don't think, that I did that. It was a very stupid thing to do because nobody knew where I was. And again, no cell phones at that point. No one would have found me until they just happened to show up back for work at that quarry sometime within, a few days later.
Well, since you opened the stupid book, me and my brother, they're all close enough to the same that it doesn't matter. But we were at the local, we lived in Cedar Mills, Oregon. It's probably Sunset School in Oregon, and Patrick and I thought it was very cool to climb. I forget how we were able to get up there. There was a ladder in just the right place, which before they locked the schools up. You can't get in any school now. But we would climb on the roof. And, oh, no, that's not the dumb part, Mike. That's not the dumb part. The dumb part is us running like hell and jumping from one building to the next and doing it multiple times. We did it probably 50 times.
Do it in the movies all the time, so it's got to be possible.
I'm not that athletic. What was I thinking? We actually entertained bringing a bike up there.
Now, how far apart distance-wise was one building to the other? We're talking 2 feet, 3 feet?
Far enough to have to run like hell for a good 10 seconds and, as a sixth grader, jump with all your might and pray to Jesus you made it.
Wow.
It was stupid. But we thought we were, you know what your tolerance is at the time. But, I could have tripped. I could have slid.
Uh-huh.
This was 10 feet in the air, Mike. I would have broken my neck and probably killed myself. What a dummy.
So anything that you would do now that you would still consider adventurous?
I would have
done none of those things, obviously.
I would have done all of them over. Come on, I had the same brain. Is there anything that I wish I had done?
No, that you would do now.
Nah. Nah, in terms of doing anything really, really out there, I've accomplished those.
Uh-huh.
The things we want to do have less to do with danger and danger or thrills. I don't need to zip line.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to, although my wife, there she is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
So would my wife. That's Colleen to this day. Still loves that sort of thing. I don't want to pay money to get nauseous. I can do that for free. I get unsettled too easy. It's not that much fun for me. Colleen loves to go to those very, very tall rides that go up very high and just drop her 12 miles.
Mm-hmm.
She'll giggle all the way down. Me, all the way down. So, nah, I don't have a crazy bucket list.
Yeah, I would still do the zip line. Never done that. I would do a tandem skydive again. I've done one of those once. The only thing if the conditions were right, and my wife would do it as well, and maybe even if our kids are old enough at that point, they would do it. I could see me bungee jumping. Maybe.
Oh, I know Colleen would.
But we're talking. Have to be in a, not just some guy on the side of the road with a rubber band. We're talking going to, say, Las Vegas and Circus, where they do it professionally. And all the safeguards are there, including the net, the pond, everything. So even if it does snap, chances are you're going to be a little bumped and bruised, but you're going to be okay. You're going to survive the experience. I would not say no to it.
And you'd watch it 15 times first to make sure. How far does he go? How far does he go? How many times up and down?
I came close once when I lived in Las Vegas. There were some friends of mine. We all went to Circus. We were all going to do it. And the thing that kept me from doing it was the elevator that you go up. As you walk out, it's a corrugated platform. So as you look through the platform, you can see the ground.
Ooh.
Knowing me well enough, I knew I would not have been able to get off the elevator.
Yeah, fear of heights boy over here would never have been able to do that.
So I would have gone up, looked out the elevator. Nope, I'm good. And then gone right back down.
I'm going to faint right now, and I'm not even outside yet. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah, that's. I think that's all the crazy for me. It's funny, though, that I remembered that. I mean, Pat and I used to go into those drainage pipes and stuff. I don't know if it was a drainage pipe or whatever. Went like half a mile in the dark.
Yeah.
We could have been eaten alive by something, and we didn't, but I don't know. Guardian angels. Guardian angels are going to kick my butt when I'm dead.
Well, you're welcome for that little trip down memory lane you didn't even know you had.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, my goodness, I just realized. It's going to be on me next time.
Yes, it will be.